Howdy-do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast for Wednesday, November 21st, 2018. This is our last show this week, and I've got two people here to talk about it. First of all, I have Andrew Orr with me. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. And also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry, who's very confused why we're off the rest of the week.
I mean, happy Thanksgiving and happy kicking out the British here from London.
Well, we left on purpose, I guess. So thanks for letting us go. I don't know. We'll figure it out later and we'll get back to everybody with a full report.
No, it's fine.
So first, I wanted to talk about something that you wrote up this morning, Andrew, about health records and how Apple wants to help with that.
Yeah, so there's this piece by, I think it was Forbes or maybe someone else, that Apple is in talks with the Department of Veterans Affairs, and they want to create a special software to make it easier for veterans to transfer their records over to iPhones. And they would even offer their engineering support to the agency, which sounds amazing.
Yeah, well, and part of why it sounds amazing is because they're willing to back it up and not just, we'd like for this to be possible, could you get on that? But we will help you make this possible. Seems like a really proactive approach, and it seems like it's something that would be much more likely to be adopted. Now, Charlotte, you have a slightly different healthcare situation than Andrew and I, because you live in a place where people have it.
Right. So obviously, yes, here in the UK, we have the NHS, a centralized national system of healthcare. You can walk into any hospital and walk out and be looked after having not paid anything. Well, you pay through your general taxation, you don't pay a bill. And so because of that, obviously, there is a variety of records held, but everyone's records are kind of in the system. And so it's a slightly different thing. The way we deal with health records here, I think. Interestingly, yeah. I've noticed we have services, things like patient access, whereby online you can, you know, order repeat prescriptions, book a doctor's appointment with your local general practitioner, that kind of thing.
Okay.
The NHS itself is trying to run a variety of services online, like NHS Direct and those kind of things, whereby you can maybe get some medical advice or look at symptoms for common ailments. You know, why is there? I don't know. Anyway, we won't go into the possible things you could search for in a health app, but you know the kind of thing I'm thinking of. And so all of that kind of stuff is happening through the NHS. What I'm not sure you can access is health records. And actually, it can occasionally be quite a frustration if you're, you know, if you have, say, a condition that requires you to see a couple of different specialists, which you have to go through by your GP. That's how our system works here, who then passes you on to the specialists. I know there are experiences whereby those health records are not passed over in the best possible way and sometimes get lost in translations and the right person doesn't get, well, they always exist, but the right person does not end up with them.
Okay.
And so, you know, being able to pull out your iPhone and say, well, here are my health records, here's
what
tests I've had,
here's
the medication the last doctor put me on, probably would be a good thing. I can see a lot of benefit.
But for general day-to-day stuff, sort of less specific and maybe less emergency based, like everyone's accessing the same system where everyone's records are, because you have national health system, you don't have all of this in network, out of network nonsense, like what some of us have to put up with here. And, you know, depending on what insurance you have, you can only go to certain places. Otherwise, it's, you know, full price and nobody even knows what full price is. So I'm interested to see if Apple can pull this off. And it would be, I think it would be useful and it'd be secure. Like, we've proven that there's some good security behind Touch ID and being able to secure data behind the information that's stored in the secure enclave. So far, that all seems to be pretty reliable. Andrew, what do you think is especially since they've offered engineering, I think this is pretty viable. And I really hope that it turns out to be something where Apple does get an agreement and start to work. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm hopeful that Apple could pull this off. I mean, they do have a track record where they worked with all the music companies and created iTunes. Now, of course, the government is a very slow-moving animal.
Yeah.
But I do have hope. I'm optimistic about this.
I'm hopeful because what I would like is for this to be a test in some way so that...
Yeah.
Apple is able to do this for the VA, for example, because I think it is for the Veterans Administration. If they're able to do this for veterans so that they can walk into any VA and have their health records and have all the information that they need in order to get treated, I would really like if that was someday an option for everybody else. So here's all the health information I have for you, as opposed to trying to find ways to fit all of that stuff into the health app, which doesn't have a spot for everything.
I do think the VA is a good place to start, just because, I mean, I've never personally interacted with it, but I've heard so many horror stories about it. So hopefully this would make it a lot easier.
Yeah, my dad interacts with them regularly, and it makes him use words he doesn't think I know. I think that's about the best I can put that. Because I don't want to get an explicit tag on the show today. So it would be my hope that this would make a lot of the paperwork end of stuff easier, is where I'm ultimately at. Especially for somebody who has a chronic condition and it's been treated for a long time. And having all of those records available to you in one place and having that place be your iPhone, which is always with you, as opposed to having to lug around a bunch of paper, would be awesome.
Yeah.
So as long as they can find a way to do it securely and they can find a way to do it that ends up being compatible, because, you know, everybody's using a different medical record system, whether it's a bunch of folders in a filing cabinet or some sort of electronic system. It'll be interesting to see, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hopeful that the VA says okay, like you're talking about. I'm hopeful they say okay, because I feel like anything that helps make having to go to the VA hospital better could only be a good thing. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I would be looking forward to that. So hopefully we can get there. We have a couple of things to talk about today, but first I want to tell you all about our sponsors. So our first sponsor today is Hopsy, and Hopsy is like having one of those Keurig machines, the little K-cup machines, but for beer. And what's great about it is you get this machine, you set it up on the counter, and it's sort of like a K-cup machine. It's a little bigger than a coffee maker, and you fit these cartridges of beer into it, and you can swap them out, and you get about a 6-pack in one of these. So you're not making a huge commitment to trying some new beer, and you're not making a huge commitment to space. You don't have to have like a place to put the keg and a place to put the carbon dioxide and all that. Just like, you don't have to do like loads and loads of, you know, installation in order to have one of these. You just stick it on the counter or on the bar. You know, everybody knows I have a bar in my basement, and the bar in my basement has beer now, which is apparently a nice option for some people. not everyone was excited about the shelf of rum, so now there's beer. And it's really easy to set up, it's really easy to swap them out, and it's really easy to find other things that you might like. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, like, you're not stuck with a whole bunch of beer at the end of it that you don't want to drink. So it's super fun to use, you know, because I'm a nerd. I like a new little tech gadgety thing. So that was pretty great. You can try Hopsy by going to tryhopsy.com, tryhopsy.com/TDO. And you'll get the machine itself. You get 2 cartridges of beer, which is like getting 2 6-packs. You'll get 2 Hopsy glasses and free membership in the beer club for $99. Add the promo code TDO to get the deal. And terms and conditions do apply. They're adding more beers all the time. They will give you beers in your area to make sure that what you're getting is fresh. And you should check it out. So our second sponsor today is Eve Energy. And I'm a smart home nerd. You know, I was just telling you how excited I am about a new gadget. I have loads of them in my house. And one of the ones I like the best is Eve Energy, because it's easier to make your house smarter without having a hub. You can hook it up to HomeKit and you can use the S-Lady to boss around things in your house. You can set it up to monitor the power consumption of things in your house, so you can find out how much energy it takes to do that thing or run that device or that lamp or whatever. And one of the things I like about it is that you can use it to schedule certain appliances. And, you know, you can have the coffee maker kick on at 6 a.m. and be ready and waiting for you, or, you know, whatever time, have lights turn on at particular times. Super duper great. You should check one out, and you can find out more about them and get your own at Eve Home, EVEHOME.com. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about today was, Andrew, another piece that you wrote, because there's more information about offline Siri. We've talked about this a little bit before, but now there's more information on the offline Siri front.
Yeah, so the news came out recently that Apple had acquired this small startup called Silk Labs.
Yeah.
And they were working on their own artificial intelligence, and they wanted it to be private. And the way that they were trying to make that happen was having the AI run locally. And so I connected the dots with something that I had wrote about last week, which was that the patent that we talked about before, with there would be like an offline version of Siri on the server side.
Viability score? There was a score.
Yeah, it would like calculate a score to figure out like which version would be best for
that. Yeah. Do I have this information locally, or do I need to go get it? And then one or the other, and then return that answer to you, whether it was from something that your phone already had stored locally in some sort of database, or whether it was something it had to go online and go get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was thinking that with the patent news combined with this news, that seems to be more stronger evidence, in my opinion, that Apple is actually working with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, last year they did hire a former Google AI person, John Gianandrea. So I don't know, you know, we obviously don't know how long this technology will get here or not, but I'm pretty excited for next year's WWDC.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a certain amount of offline, like I don't currently have an Android device. I know there, I used to, and I would like to again, because I'm always interested in what the other guys are up to. And one of the things that I've seen, and from people who also like decided not to be team A-Lady and they've gone with the Google Home Assistant instead, they've said that there's more of an offline component to it, and that there's more stuff Android can do for you. So Charlotte, do you have any Home Assistants in your house?
No, I've discussed this on another podcast, actually. I'm kind of paranoid about home assistants in general.
I don't blame you.
I'm a massive nerd. Happy to have gadgets do all sorts of things for me. But, you know, an Amazon Echo or HomePod, all these kind of other things kind of freak me out, because goodness knows what they're listening to. So that kind of makes me nervous. I do have an Android device. I don't know if that's blasphemous to say on this show.
It's not.
But I do have a... And...
It just means we're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about it and your life choices when you're not here. It's okay.
Sure, that's fine. I'm used to that. That's okay. We're all friends. Look, we're good friends. That's okay. And I do find it interesting. So what it does do is kind of, it does have a better ability to kind of cache information, is how I would describe it.
Yeah. And that's what this would be, I think. Because if you, like, you know, Andrew connected some dots, and I continue to connect those dots to what we keep hearing Apple say about how exciting machine learning is. And so, I think the same example that I used before would apply here. If I was continuing to ask my phone about the Portland Trailblazers, which is my favorite basketball team, if I continue to ask different statistics, what the score of the last game was, different things about the team. When do they play next? Where do we stand in the Western Conference right now? Because we're first, and I'm really excited about that. So I want to say that as often as possible. We're first in the Western Conference right now. You can always at Daily Observations Twitter account, and I'll tell you why that's awesome. But if I continue to ask questions specifically about the Trailblazers, then ideally machine learning would go, this is the thing Kelly wants to know about. We should have all that information locally anyway, and then it will always be there. And, you know, if somebody's always asking about conversions, you know, whether it's money or cooking or something like that, like having all of that stuff stored locally would make those responses faster and make them less immune to the cable modem has a glitch right now. And so now nothing works, you know?
Right. Yeah. Just a couple of quick general picture points on those. So when I was writing about Silk Labs today, I think Andrew's very much right to highlight the privacy issue.
Yes.
That seems to be one of the big things that attracted Apple to Silk.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, I was just looking up at the interview that Tim Cook did at CNN with Christiane Amanpour on CNN. Yes. That CNN just put up on YouTube. And he actually says that he gives the quote that basically autonomy is the mother of all machine learning. So I think your point about machine learning is very much where Apple's head is at the moment.
And I hope so, because it would be nice if there were more instances where something could be accurate like that. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of like how when you first get a new phone, the predictive keyboard is really terrible and it makes you mad. But if you just grit your teeth and gut it out, and, you know, after a week or two, it starts to actually learn and it starts to pay more attention and it starts to get better. That's machine learning. So it would really be nice if we were able to apply some of that in other ways to make some of these things go a little better.
Yeah, because what you were saying earlier, I think that is probably the biggest thing holding AI back, is because it can learn things,
mm-hmm.
but it can't really remember things.
Right.
So if Siri could have this local cache of things that mm-hmm. you do often, that would be huge, I think.
Yeah. And especially for, depending what those things are, and then being able to access that information and, you know, easily, and not have it matter whether or not you have connectivity, which is still an issue in a lot of places. You know, I mean, there are parts of Oregon I don't have to drive very far to end up in a place where I have no cellular reception at all. Total dead zone.
Yeah.
So, and like big stretches, there's miles and miles in between here and the Oregon coast where you have no reception. So, you know, people sometimes look at me funny because I sync music to my phone. I'm like, I can't stream all the time. If I go anywhere fun, there's dead spots where I can't stream anything. So of course I have to have something locally.
Mm-hmm.
So
plus, you know, one last thing, you know, Apple has these bionic chips with neural engines now. So
yeah.
I think they're making some good headway.
Yeah. And what I really want is for somebody to translate all of the excitement about machine learning. Like, I'm excited about it because Phil Schiller comes on stage and is excited about it. So I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm excited, but I don't know a whole lot about it. So I would like if somebody would translate from machine learning excitement to English so that all the rest of us could find out a little bit more about why this is a big deal. Maybe mm-hmm. I'll have to put my favorite machine learner on this and get John Martellaro to write something up for us so we all know why we should be excited yes. about it. Because he does an awful lot of machine learning. He's my favorite robot. So hopefully we could get him to talk a little bit about that, and that would be great. So as I said at the beginning of the show, this is our last show for the week because we have Thanksgiving and the high holy day of Black Friday coming up in the future. So we won't talk to anybody again until Monday. And on that note, since the Christmas shopping season will officially kick off while we are on a brief break, I want to talk about Apple's kickoff to the Christmas season this year. It's not Stevie Wonder singing a Christmas song, which I'm a little bummed about because I do love that ad, but this year's ad is really pretty awesome.
Sweet.
It's very, very cute. And I watched it a number of times, and Mr. Kelly came by and said, "Are you watching that again? Because she looks like you, because she does have big wavy hair," which I thought was
a lot of big curls going on.
Yes. And I mostly, I just was impressed by it because I'm sort of an animation nerd. So like, wow, the technology that goes into making something like that reality is really impressive.
So it's beautifully done. And I watched the making of video as well, which they released for the first time. And the sets basically are real.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't seen it yet, which you probably have if you're listening to the show, it's a little girl called Sophia is creating something on her MacBook. We don't quite know what it was. It might be some writing, some art, something like that. And she keeps hiding it away in a box.
Yeah, she keeps printing out these pages and then stashing the pages in this box. She won't show them to anybody.
Right, exactly. Except Fluffy Dog, who bursts open the window and all the wonderful things that Sophia and her big curly hair have created go out into the world and make lots of people happy. It's a very, very sorry for the spoiler alert. It's a very lovely, beautifully done video. But what was interesting in the making of is the sets were built. They're real.
Yes. All the sets are practical sets. They're, I mean, at one point they say this set is huge, but it's a miniature set. So, you know, yeah, it takes up a lot of space, but it's not meant to hold human-sized people, so it's not necessarily massive the way stunning. That you think of it.
Exactly, they're stunning in detail, and they CGI'd the characters over. It's really worth watching the making of video as well,
because it's interesting.
Particularly clever.
Yeah,
yes,
it's interesting, and it's very clever how it was all done.
Yes, and it's.
I was a little surprised that Apple didn't have all of those creators using iPad Pros.
Right?
Just to hammer that in a bit.
It was, and the ad is adorable, but the ad is also a couple of minutes long. And so I'm wondering how they're going to cut it down to be a TV commercial, because I'm assuming that's where this is going to end up. Sort of like we got, you know, Stevie Wonder singing with Audra Day, and we got like a little bit of it on TV, but they had the whole thing that you could go and watch mm-hmm. them sing the whole song. And so I'm wondering how this is going to get cut down to still tell the story. It won't have the emotional impact because you don't get the build up, but I'm curious how they're going to do that. And it's just, it's so the cutest. And it's like, and the practical and the CG together is a really interesting idea. I haven't seen a whole lot of that in most stuff. Like, I don't live far from Leica, so like full on stop motion animation is like a huge thing still over at Leica. And there's like other stuff happening, you know, that's stop motion. So seeing them build the sets like it was for stop motion, but then CGing in the characters was a really interesting idea. And I'd like to see more of that. And the thing I did notice about the video, though, is I don't know who they are or like what the studio is or anything. So I don't know what else they're working on. So, because I would like to see more stuff from those people.
Say Apple, internal Apple people. Was this an agency that they hired? I was interested. That was my first question as well, because in the making of video, they kind of say people's name and role, but it never says which company they're from.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who this is. So, and I want to, because they do amazing work, and I want to see more of the stuff that they made. So I hope we get to find that out someday.
Mm-hmm.
We're all fans of Sophia.
Yes. Team Sophia all the way. I promise. So with that, I'm going to wish everybody the happiest of Thanksgivings. And if you end up out shopping this weekend, best of luck to you. I believe in you. And I'm going to thank my panelists today. Andrew Orr, thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That was fun.
And Charlotte, thanks so much for coming on.
Having me. Happy Thanksgiving, American amigos.
And with that, I'm going to bid everyone farewell until Monday. We will talk again then. And in the meantime, happy Thanksgiving and be excellent to each other.